2 of that 590 show coming at you right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John G. Mighty Rudolph behind the dials. Very excited about our next guest. He is the editor-at-large of TheRinger.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Curtis. That's B-R-Y-A-N. Brian Curtis right now on the Belmont Automotive phone line. Brian, how are you, sir?
Great, Matt. How you doing, man?
Good. I read your article yesterday about the worldwide leader in Schadenfreude, and Schadenfreude is such an underused term. A lot of people don't know what it means, but it is basically taking joy in other people's misery and leave it to the Germans to come up with such a word for such a thing. But you're absolutely right. I've never seen anything like this before. People just rooting for ESPN to fail. And I can't understand why. I mean, is it just as simple as they don't like Jemele Hill?
You know, I think that's probably, there's probably a segment of people that think that. I mean, the whole thing is wild to me because you and I, as sports media guys, know this. Let's be honest, right? We always root for our colleagues and our competitors to get a little comeuppance once in a while. You know, that's what we do, right? It's a professional obligation. But for just regular sports fans to be out there rooting for ESPN's demise, somehow die, ESPN die, is what I saw on one of the message boards that I read. You know, maybe it's some of that. I think a little bit of it is kind of alienation from the network. You know, they grew up with a certain set of people watching Boomer and Dan and Keith and all those people. Those people are now gone. They don't like the second generation of talent as much. Maybe ESPN doesn't feel like the underdog anymore. They feel like this big corporate thing. I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons out there.
And I think another thing, too, is that I remember ESPN when I grew up. They covered everything. I mean, if it was a sport, you saw the highlight for it. But now it seems like they basically concentrate on two sports. They concentrate on the NBA and they concentrate on the NFL. You know, they'll sprinkle in some baseball highlights. They'll sprinkle in some NHL highlights and some college, but that's about it. And if you aren't a fan of those two sports, I could see why you would think that ESPN has abandoned you.
Yeah, it's true. You know, the one thing I hear about, I'm a 30-something child of the ESPN generation. I hear that all the time, like, man, I love that 80s ESPN where you could turn on and literally find anything, you know, all the way down to, like, Australian.
Absolutely,
football,
yes.
Weird wrestling and all that stuff. But, you know, I always wonder, and I feel the same way. I mean, I absolutely hear that. I always wonder, though, if that stuff was still on, would I really be watching that? Would I just sit there? Am I too busy now to watch, like, sit around all day and watch that, you know, or is that just like a college thing?
And maybe part of it is that, okay, you want to see it because you've never seen it before, and now that you've seen it, you're like, oh, so that's fencing. Okay, well, on to the next thing. That could be part of it, too. The morbid curiosity is over.
I'm going to turn off LeBron James or Monday Night Football and watch that. Somehow I doubt it, you know?
That's the other thing that I don't understand either, that, okay, I'm not saying that you have to like Bomani Jones or you have to like Stephen A. Smith or even like what they have to say, but, I mean, just don't watch them or don't listen to them. And if you're a fan, especially of college football, I don't understand how you could even conceive getting rid of ESPN. They have so many great games on, and they also have the college playoff as well. So, I mean, if you're a college football fan, you just got to, you know, basically grit your teeth and power your way through what you don't like.
That's what I'm so weirded out by. People say, well, I don't like this host or that host. And I said, well, you don't like them, but you also don't like College Game Day? What did Herbie ever do to you?
Absolutely. I mean, you don't like Lou Corso? Come on. Or Lee Corso, you don't like him? What's going on?
Yeah, if you're really into basketball, you don't like Zach Lowe's writing us on the website or Bill Barnwell on the NFL. Or, you know, it's just ESPN is so many things, right? I mean, it's just weird to me to say, well, I don't like this particular person or I don't like their political tweets or whatever it is, and therefore I'm done with the whole network. Because how could we ever get rid of it? It's like we're so dependent on it, there's no way we could detach ourselves.
And like you said, I don't like their political tweets, then don't follow them on Twitter. Why are you following them on Twitter if you don't like their political tweets? And I mentioned Bomani Jones earlier. I think Bomani Jones is a tremendously sharp and talented guy, and he is one of the few people I know of that has blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah, did he really?
Yeah, he did, because it was during the combine a couple years ago when Jameis Winston, he ran his 40-yard dash, and he made it sound like a bunch of people were going to make a big deal about how his 40-yard dash time wasn't very good, when no one was expecting Jameis Winston to have a very good 40-yard dash time. And he kind of, you know, he crowbarred a little race into there, and I said, way to crowbar a race into there, slugger. And ever since then, he's blocked me.
He can mix it up. Yeah, he's definitely one of these guys that mixes it up on Twitter. You know, I was telling somebody the other day that I said, can you imagine back in the 90s if Keith Olbermann had had a Twitter feed?
Oh, my God.
Had access to Keith's thoughts? Because that's when everybody said, well, ESPN, all their personalities didn't do politics. Keith Olbermann didn't do politics? I remember in the old days, he would go on there and remember when the old Sacramento Kings used to play in old Arco Arena?
Yes.
He would call it Greedy Oil Profits Arena on the air. And eventually the Kings had to tell him, look, you can't call it that anymore. We're not going to give you the footage.
Well,
he had to back down.
I remember when Dan Patrick, when his radio show was on in the middle of the day on ESPN, and he had Countdown on MSNBC, and he would call into Dan Patrick's show, and the entire segment would just be Keith Olbermann ragging on George W. Bush the entire time.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's never bothered me that much, because I just think I can, you know, it's like I can watch games with people that I disagree with politically, and I think that basically counts as my entire family. You know, I think after the election, the first time we all talked was when the Cowboys won that next Sunday or whatever, you know, maybe the Steelers.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, and I just, like, if somebody, you know, it doesn't matter to me if they were lefty or righty, as long as it's, you know, within a bounds of respectable discourse, I sort of think, like, what, I'm really not going to listen to you talking about sports. I'm just going to tune you out if you're an interesting perspective, sharp person, you know. I don't get it.
I don't like living in an echo chamber either. Give me a different perspective. Give me something that I don't know. Tell me something that I may not notice before. That's what I'm interested in. That's why I like talking to people that I may not always agree with politically or philosophically.
Yes, and I think one of the things when people talk about ESPN being political or liberal, quote unquote, part of it is you just look at the network, and it's even-handed coverage of things that are happening in sports, right? So Colin Kaepernick takes a knee on the sideline, and ESPN winds up doing lots and lots of pieces exploring that, right? Talking to him, talking to other players who are doing it. I mean, of course they're going to cover it. You're just going to turn it off. I mean, it's not like this is some out-of-the-way news story, right? This is some huge thing that's spreading across sports, and I think people get this weird expectation, like, oh, well, ESPN shouldn't talk about it. Well, of course they should talk about it.
Well,
I just don't. What world is that where we're not going to talk about it? Maybe you don't like it, but it doesn't mean we can ignore it.
I think a lot of it is that. ESPN, like you're talking about, Colin, you just brought up Colin Kaepernick, and then, you know, you had a couple weeks ago the whole Adam Jones story about him and the racial taunts that he heard when he was playing center field for the Orioles at Fenway Park in Boston. And, you know, ESPN, a lot of people don't understand, and you and I get it because we're in broadcasting, we're in the media. It's a lot of content that you got to fill. And, yeah, sometimes you may beat a story into the ground because you need content. And I think a lot of people, when they hear someone talk, I never hear them talk about politics on ESPN, but they do talk about race, and to a lot of people, those things are one and the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, is the world has just changed so much, and it's not just the Donald Trump thing. This was happening under Barack Obama. It was happening under George W. Bush, that we've gotten into this thing where every bit of spoken word in the media is either Republican or Democrat.
Absolutely. Right? Even if it's not meant to be, they're going to find a way that it is.
No, absolutely. And, you know, when Adam Jones gets taunted with a racist taunt at Fenway Park, people at ESPN aren't saying, oh, good, we can, you know, push our liberal agenda on people. They're saying, as you point out, here's something really interesting that's happening, right? Here is a controversy. Here is something that is going to, you know, throw off a lot of interesting opinions and news and perspective. You know, they're happy in the way that newspaper writers are happy when news happens. Because if it's just a game with the Red Sox and the Orioles, nobody cares.
Yeah, because the baseball season is so long, and, you know, who cares what's going on in that game? There's going to be another one tomorrow and another one after that. Brian Curtis from The Ringer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can read him at theringer.com and follow him on Twitter at Brian Curtis. We were talking about Colin Kaepernick, the piece that you had that came up today, the NFL takes a knee on Colin Kaepernick, and I'm almost waiting for this guy to sign with the team, just so the story will go away. But it doesn't appear like that's going to happen anytime soon. I know that he was in Seattle, but it sounded like that was more of a kind of a meet and greet than it was like an actual tryout. And the big thing, that the big signing that kind of made everybody go off kilter, was when the Arizona Cardinals, when they signed Blaine Gabbert to be a competition for the backup quarterback, everybody lost their mind and was whipping out Blaine Gabbert's stats and comparing it to Colin Kaepernick's stats. But the one thing they weren't comparing is that, okay, the way that Blaine Gabbert plays football is kind of the style that he plays in kind of fits in more with Bruce Arians' offense as opposed to what Colin Kaepernick does. Colin Kaepernick likes to scramble. Blaine Gabbert's a statue back there, kind of like Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I think the Colin Kaepernick thing is fascinating as a media story because nobody can really prove anything, right?
Absolutely.
You and I could have an argument where one of us says Colin Kaepernick is good enough to deserve a shot as a backup quarterback in the NFL or deserve to be a backup quarterback. The other one could argue, you know what, he's not really deserving of it. And this is what's happening in the media, right? Some people could say he's being blackballed by a certain significant portion of NFL teams. So they say, no, it's not happening. You're just full of it. And we're relying on, you know, kind of sketch information, anonymous sources. You know, I think I know what I think about this, but of course Colin Kaepernick isn't talking either, right? He hasn't given an interview.
No, he hasn't said a word.
So it's kind of like this, it really reminds me of the Michael Sam thing, you know, to bring it back to St. Louis, because when he came to, remember that whole argument about, well, he should have been a third round pick. No, he should have been a seventh round pick. No, he should be, you know, he should be good enough to be the eighth defensive lineman on the Rams. No, he shouldn't. You know, he's actually not that good. Nobody can prove any of this stuff. I mean, if you're so inclined, you can make an argument on either side of that fence, drive it home on sports radio, in print, however you want to do it.
And at the end of the day, I
just kind of shrug my shoulders and go, what is this really about?
And I've defended Colin Kaepernick on some occasions, and I've been a pretty harsh critic of his too. When he was taking a knee during the national anthem, I defended him. But when, you know, you lose, in my opinion, he lost the moral high ground when you wear socks that have, you know, the police portrayed as pigs, and then you're talking about how unfair the government is to, you know, to certain races and civil liberties, and then you wear a shirt with of all people, Fidel Castro on it, and then after Fidel Castro dies, you kind of, you know, praise him a little bit, and then the last play of the game against the Miami Dolphins, you get knocked out by Kiko Alonso, the son of a Cuban exile. So I mean, it's like the stuff like that you just can't write. So I think sometimes Colin Kaepernick has been his own worst enemy too.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a range of opinions, right? And there are certain people out in the media who are interested really in exploring this and listening to what he has to say and evaluating everything on the merits. And also, by the way, understanding that protest movements are not super, they don't have this super coherent set of ideals a lot of times on day one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We went to any protest movement in the history of the United States, at the very first time they went to the streets, would they have an absolutely coherent set of ideas? No, these things form over time. People kind of figure out what they think. And, you know, to me, we owed Colin Kaepernick that. Now, if you come down on either side of it, I can totally understand. But people just absolutely bringing the hammer on him after the very first interview he gave last August, after that preseason game, and saying what an idiot he was, I just don't get that. I mean, that just, to me, if anything, that just reflects a lack of curiosity.
And here's what I found interesting too about what he was doing, and we saw it here in Ferguson after the Michael Brown killings. Was you had the riots in Ferguson, and people were saying, you know, having protests where they're blocking highways and stuff like that, and everybody's saying, well, why can't they protest peacefully? And then here's Colin Kaepernick protesting peacefully, and they had a problem with that too. So basically, they just don't want him protesting at all.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, right? Look, all of this at the end of the day is a proxy war for politics. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, are people who are really arguing that Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough to be in the NFL, aren't what they're really mad about is his protest? Isn't what that what they're really angry about?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head.
And if those of us who are saying Colin Kaepernick is good enough, aren't we people who are really sympathetic to what he is saying, at least up to a point? Right on the sidelines. I mean, that's what this is. And by the way, that was the same thing with Michael Sam. But you know, the people who are saying he's good enough to play versus, you know, it's all a thing about politics, and weirdly, we're playing it out as an argument about whether he's good enough to be a backup quarterback.
It's
kind of hilarious.
It kind of brings the whole thing back to full circle with ESPN. It seemed like the people that who were trying to or rejoicing at the troubles that ESPN are having, they're always picking out the same people that they don't like. It's Jamel Hill, it's Michael Smith, it's Stephen A. Smith, it's Bomani Jones. It's like, I'm sensing a pattern here. And yeah, I have a feeling that, and I don't know about you, I'm sure you probably get a lot of tweets about this, but I would imagine if you went back and looked at all your tweets, the people who were sending those tweets, who are rejoicing in ESPN's problems, I would imagine if you looked at their Twitter bio, there are probably a lot of hashtag MAGA. Just throwing it out there.
It's certainly... Certainly, our recent election has allowed this certain kind of, well, let's say it's made it safe in a way, in certain ways, to have pretty awful opinions on Twitter and kind of take pride in it. I was really struck the other day when there was that story on ESPN's layoffs. I think it was on Yahoo Sport. I mean, just a straight news story. And they said that half of the 1,500 comments were about Michael Smith and Jamel Hill.
Yeah.
And were just awful racist bilge written about them. And I'm just...
And I don't find them that controversial, to be honest with you. I mean, I follow Jamel Hill. I follow Jamel Hill on Twitter, and she and I, we didn't get into an argument, but we got into a discussion on whether or not women could be friend-zoned. I mean, it was a polite, friendly exchange. And I mean, like, do I agree with everything that they say? No, but I mean, in this day and age, there's no such thing as a little bit pregnant. You're either like completely behind somebody or completely against them. There's no in between. And I think that's what the real downfall of this nation is going to be.
That's what it is, right? And isn't it weird that I understand that with politics to a certain extent, because it you know, gets us all fired up about these different things. But really, sports hosts, I either have to feel that Jamel and Michael are the best people in the history of the world or the worst people in the history of the world.
No in between.
Why? And by the way, having a friend zone argument on Twitter was probably the nicest argument she's ever had on her Twitter account, I think, given the nut jobs that go on there and say awful things.
I think you're probably right. She said that women could be friend zoned, and I said the only way that women can be friend zoned is if the guy doesn't find the woman that attractive. I said that. I went full blown sexist on that one, I guess you could say, but I think I was being honest.
Well, yeah, in another world, that would be politically incorrect. But if you look at all the awful tweets in the world, you're probably in the safe zone.
Brian, this was fun. You have an open invitation to come back anytime you want to, my friend. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you so much. Love the discussion about all this.
That is, thank you, Brian. That is the great Brian Curtis. You can read him at theringer.com and follow him on Twitter at Brian Curtis. Let's head back to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
In action later tonight, it's the Cardinals and the Dodgers. First pitch is set for 9:10 p.m. The pitching matchup, Michael Wacha taking on Kenta Maeda. Cardinal lineup for tonight, Dexter Fowler, Tommy Pham, Matt Carpenter, Jed Jerko, Yadier Molina, Stephen Piscotty, Ledmus Diaz, Colton Wong, and then Michael Wacha. In action right now in Pittsburgh, they're scoreless as they have 10 minutes left to go in the first period in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Again, one of those teams punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup final tonight. And later on tonight, the Celtics and the Cavaliers just a few minutes away from getting started. Game 5 of that series, Cavaliers lead 3-1. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break. I kind of want to talk about what he had to say, what Brian Curtis had to say, especially about Colin Kaepernick. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.